Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us that guidance, Father, that we need, and take us into the depth of this, your word, so that we can have a greater understanding of all that is written and been held and given unto us, so that we can grow thereby and our faith be strengthened, Father, day by day. Help us now throughout this day, Father. Be with us through this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Going to open up here now. I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, I think before we get into that, though, let's have us a song.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We do. We praise him in word and in song. All right. She's got the Gospel of John chapter 15. Let's begin here now. You see, Jesus here is using the grapevine as an example of how we are with him. And it lets us know a lot of things as he goes along here. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He started out here by letting you and I know that we are to be doing his work and talking to those about him and bringing the truth of God's word out to those that we know, meet, see. But we are to be at work with him. And he's letting us know this. And as I said, they're using the grapevine to do it. But there's so much truth here. He goes on to tell us that those others that are doing anything for him at all, he says he purgeth it. In other words, he'll still teach and cleanse and give you more to do. As he goes on to tell us there, that it may bring forth more fruit. We're yet to do even more. Verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We're clean through the word. The word helps clean us. Because you see, the word has to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I must belong to him in order for that word to reach us and to be able to do anything for us at all. We've got to belong to him. Now, he tells us this in 4. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself on our own without the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't do the right work that would be suitable to God. Think about that. You know, most of us, we've got the idea, I can do things my way. No, that won't get the work done. We've got to work with and through the Lord Jesus Christ in order to reach the Father or to serve him. It all has to come through Jesus. And he goes on to tell us there before, he says, and you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, letting us know we cannot bear good gospel fruit, righteous fruit, without abiding in Christ. It says, no more can ye except ye abide in me. See, he used that vine because we know that a branch off of that vine would die. Even it would not bear any fruit. And he's used that to let us know that that's exactly what will happen to you and I if we don't abide in him. There's one thing that we need to be sure about. We don't want to be broken off from him. Because if we are, we're going to find that we are spiritually dead. Here's verse 5. He tells us, he says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. But is that really true of each one that is listening this morning? Is he your vine? Are you in him? He goes on to tell us, he says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He's letting you and I know exactly the standing so that we can know whether we are of him or not. For without me, he can do nothing. He's put it plain. He just brought it straight out. And you see, that's what mankind don't want today. That's why they're walking away from the church, why they're walking away from those that are serving the living God, is because they don't want the truth. And when you give them the truth, all that does is they get angry at you. Now, but you see, that don't hurt you. It hurts them. Because they will have to answer to the Lord God for that. You stand with him. You hold on to him. You don't never turn him loose. And you will be all right. And he will always be there with you. The last couple of days, well, actually it was night. The last couple of nights as I was sleeping, the Lord had been bringing something to my mind and something for me to do. And I'm going to be working on it through this coming week. Just when I'll get to bring it about, I'm not sure whether it be a week or 2 weeks, because it's going to take a lot of research. And so until the Spirit is through with me, I'll not be able to share what it is with you. But anyway, I'm sharing that much with you to let you know we got something coming. All right, now, here's verse 6. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. In other words, without him, we're nothing. He's calling it withered. But for you and I, it means we would be right back out here in the world and doing things we shouldn't be doing. And he goes on to tell us, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That's what happens to the branches when they wither and die. They're burned. And that is exactly what will happen to you and I when we walk away from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when we don't do the work that we are called on to do. Because one day, we're going to be standing before that judgment seat of Christ. And if we have not been one that has stayed with him and kept him with us, then as we stand there, we're going to hear him say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. Think about that. Is that really what you want to hear when you step out of this life and into the next? Mankind has got the idea that when they leave this life in what we call death, that it's just all over, nothing else matters. No, it's just beginning. That's really just a beginning. And we are told that in his word. And we have seen enough to know that God's word is truth. But mankind, in his mind, he thinks he knows it all, and that he go out here and do anything he wants to do, commit all the sin he wants to commit, but when he dies, he just don't exist anymore. That's not true. And you're going to burn, just like these branches. The only thing of it is, you're not going to burn up to non-existence. You're going to continue to burn through eternity, never ending and no way ever out. Think about that. But that's what so many are thinking and believing. That's like in my lifetime. I wasn't a good young man. I've done a lot of things against the Lord. But I finally, in my older years, I went to him in honesty and sincerity. He forgave all of those sins I had committed in my younger years. But then I've had to stay straight with him. And I'm growing more and more each and every day. Here in verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That ought to let us know something. You ever went to him in prayer and asked him for something and you don't get it? Now you know why. Because something is missing. There's something still missing in your life that has got you separated from him. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And as we've talked before, we know that we all carry a lot of different types. We're his disciples, we're his children, we're saints of God, we're ministers, we're teachers. All of those titles belong to God's people. And if they will walk in their calling, whatever God has called them to do, and walk in the title that is for them, they'll never have to worry about making heaven their home. But when we don't, when we go the ways of this world out here, we're asking for a lot of trouble. But you see, what we do through Jesus, but we do it to bring glory to God, the Father. And we do that through his Son, Jesus. And we also, at the time, we are actually serving too as the Lord's disciples. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. We need to continue daily walking in the love of Almighty God. When you get up of the morning and you have your prayer with him to start your day, always also remember that he loves you and you are to love him. Tell him so. Tell him that you know he loves you and that you love him and that you want to continue to walk all the rest of your time here on this earth in his love. And you see, the Father loves you too. Tell him. And then they sent the Holy Spirit back to be with us to give us the things we need to give you and I knowledge of his word as we study it, to give us wisdom in how to use it. And then as God will call on us to do work that needs to be done, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do it and also the guidance. Now, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You see, he's telling us just exactly what we just said. We are to continue in his love. We need it daily, every day, all day time. We don't just need it. Well, you know, today's church day, so I need the Lord's love today. No. I've needed all those days that wasn't church days. Because it takes his love in order to keep me walking in his commandments and his word. Now, here in verse 10, he's telling us about his commandments. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We're to walk as Jesus walked, really. Well, most will tell you, you can't walk as he walked. That is telling us exactly contrary to what he tells us. Because he tells me I can. He tells me I can do everything he was doing while he was here on the earth. He tells you that you can do everything that he was doing. And he told us we can even do greater. Because as time goes by, and as the church age comes to a close, he's got greater things he wants done. And in order for him to get them done, he works through mankind. He's in heaven. But he's also in you if you are his, and he works through you. Now, verse 11. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We all want joy in our lives. We don't want to walk around sad and misguided and all through the days and the weeks and the months. We want joy in our life. And that's the way we get it, is by working and walking with him. And then he will see that joy is there. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see, we are to love each other. We are to share with each other the glory and the fullness and the truth of God and of his word. And we are to help each other along the way. And not want to see no one fall. And when we see others doing things that they shouldn't be doing, we are to tell them. God's word tells us that. We're to tell them. And it even goes on to tell us that once we tell them, if they don't listen, then we're to take witnesses with us, tell them again, if they won't listen, then we're to take it before the church. But we're to do our very best to get them to stop doing whatever it is they're doing that they shouldn't be doing. If they get mad at us about it, because, you see, in their mind, they haven't done anything wrong. So they're mad at you for telling them. Now, verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's how much we are to love each other. That we are willing to lay our lives down. Now, you know, that would take a lot of doing. That would take a lot of praying to get to the point. But you see, we walk knowing that one day we may have to give our life to this word. That if we choose to walk according to this word, it will cost us our life. He's talking about his friends. Now here in 14, he goes on and look what he's calling us. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. When you keep his word, walk in his word, keeping his word, walking with him, you're not just a child of God, a brother, but you are also a friend. He tells us in 15, he explains it so much. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. We have all of God's word right here in our hand. Now, 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. You are ordained to bring forth fruit. Regardless of what he has called you to do, if you are walking in that calling, you are bringing forth fruit to him. And that's what it's all about. Now, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Once again, we are being told that whatever we ask of the Father in Jesus' name, he'll give it to us if we are where we are supposed to be. That lets us know whether or not we've got something still missing in our lives. Now, 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. There's that loving each other again. Now we move on here to 18. We'll find that what he's talking about here is how the world is going to view you and I. He's warning us. He's letting us know what we can expect. 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Well, yes, we do. We know it beat him. It lied on him, lied about him, ridiculed him. And it hung him on a cross and took his life. That's what the world done to him. Now, he's letting us know that he's going to hate us also. That world out there don't like you and I at all. And it's going to do everything it can against us. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Letting us know, he's letting us know real good, isn't he? 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. When we walk with him, we can expect to be treated just like he was, good and bad. We'll be treated good by those that belong to him, but we will be hated and persecuted by those of the world out here. Now, 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Because we walk in him and because we are teaching about him and we are doing things in his name, he's letting us know that they'll do all these things to us. because they know not him that sent me. They don't know him nor the Father. You see, those that we deal with, we can expect nothing different. But we can expect to walk just as Jesus tells us we can walk. 22. If I had not come and spoken it to them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. And that's the thing. You see, when we uncover something someone's doing they shouldn't be doing, we took the cloak off of that sin, and they're mad. And we know it's going to happen, but it hurts when it does, and especially when you believe that they are walking right, that they are walking and that they do love the Lord Jesus Christ and that they love you, but then they are doing something that is hurting them and can hurt them, and you tell them about it and they get mad at you. 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. You see, we don't hate one without the other. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father, and just as they will hate us because we bring that sin out also that they are living and doing. We take that cloak off for that sin. Now, 25. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hate me without a cause. Because you see, he had no sin. And if you are walking born again, a born again child of God, then you don't have any sin either. And they are not going to like you either. Now, in the next two verses, then we're going to close. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He's telling his disciples here what he's going to do. Now, what he has told them here about sending the Comforter, we have seen this today because we have it in our day and time. For the most part of their life, he wasn't with them in that fashion. He'd be with them when Jesus would send them out to do something for that period of time. But then when that was over, he wasn't with them anymore. But that Comforter, the Holy Spirit, are with those that are born again all the time. He's living in them. He's always with them. He's always there. And that's why a lot of times you'll see things that will hit your heart so hard and so strong, and the Spirit's there revealing things to you, and you'll sit and just cry. at my age, I'm doing an awful lot of crying anymore. I'm crying almost as much as I did when I was a baby because of things I'm seeing that is against God and seeing the people knowing what they're facing and knowing that I love them and I know if they don't change, they're going to wind up in that lake of fire. And it will make you cry. And on 27, we'll close for the morning. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And from the beginning of our Christian life, we are to walk continually with Him. Always being with Him. Never leaving Him. And growing stronger each and every day of our lives. And you will. When you walk with Him. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we do thank you for times that we can come together. For times that we can share your word with each other and with those, Father, that are lost out there in the world. That our hope, Father, and our lives, we hope to help them see that they need something other than themselves. They need something bigger. Stronger, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. They need Him in their lives to make their lives while here on this earth and to be able to make heaven their home. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace to them because your word tells us to do so. They are your chosen people. And what we have today, Father, has come to us through them. We are to stand with them. We are to love them just as you love them. And Father, we do. But we pray even more so that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. Because we know, Father, that for most there, they are still trying to live by the law. They need to come out, Father, and we pray that they will and accept Jesus. Come out of that and come to the light, and that light being Jesus, so that one day Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. This land of ours, Father, it's getting worse every day. But Father, we pray for those that are out there that are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, that are seeking a better way, and that are seeking better things for this land. Father, we pray with them and for them that, Father, there'll be enough of us that one of these days this land will repent of its sins. It took the Lord Jesus Christ out of every place he was in, beginning with our schools. You see, Satan always starts with the children. But Father, we don't want that to happen. Help us to remove from office, our government office, those that have been against you and the church and your people. And help us to replace them with ones, Father, that love you, love your church, love your people, will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation of which it was founded, and that being, Father, your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for each one that has been with me over the past several months, that has walked with me in study of your word, in praising you, in lifting up the Lord Jesus. For Dennis Lee, Kenny Powers, Terry Coates, James Taylor, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, Jane, and for Sue and David Branson, myself. Father, help us each and every day. Make a way for us to help someone along the way. And use us all, Father, in great and mighty ways. We ask all of this, Father, in Jesus' name. Now bring us back together again this evening, Father, at 5 p.m., so that once again we'll be back into your word, praising and lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, and bringing praise, honor, and glory unto you in his great name, that name of Jesus. Amen. All right.
So,
what you been up to? Nothing? Well, I know you've been working. All right, let me get this thing shut off here.